This is Eddie Hyatt, and this is the Awakening Podcast. So glad you joined me today. You know, yesterday I told you that I was going to share with you a very powerful personal testimony about how God just made alive to me how that we are all one in Christ Jesus. And it had to do with an experience I had the day before I was to preach in a church that was founded and pastored by a woman. Now, the passage that this is based upon is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, where Paul says that in Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. And then the parallel passage in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, where he says, we'll read both verses 27 and 28. He says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." As I emphasized yesterday, where it says for you, there's neither male nor female, it has nothing to do with transgenderism. It has to do with attaching value, judging a person's value based on their sex, based on their race, or based on their station in life, their class. You know, what part of town they live in, what kind of car they drive, what kind of career they have. No, in Christ, we don't judge people's worth or value based on any of those things, based on sex, based on class, or based on race. We are all part of one family, part of one kingdom, the kingdom of God. And as I said yesterday, some Bible scholars believe that Galatians 3:28 was a baptismal confession that all new converts to Christianity were led in confessing at the time of their baptism, which meant that this new value system was a part of the basics of the Christian faith. Now, the story I want to share with you today, it happened quite a few years ago, probably, you know, 20 years ago or so, and I had been invited to speak at a particular church in another town, probably about a 45-minute drive away, speak on a Sunday morning service, and it was a church that had been founded by a woman, and she was still the pastor after many years, and it was a very successful church, and I had preached there before, and you know, God had revealed to my wife Susan, she wrote a book called In the Spirit We're Equal, which is about to be republished, but it's been through at least a couple of printings and sold out, but it's a powerful testimony how that women can do anything God calls them to do, that they are not restricted or confined from functioning in any area. They can be pastors, they can be senior pastors, they can be whatever God calls them to do. The bottom line is, has God called you? Not are you a man or a woman? And so I had preached there before, and you know, it looked like everybody loved this pastor and everything, and so I was going back to preach, and I thought to myself, now, I don't need to address this whole thing of women leaders and women pastors. I don't need to share a message showing that the biblical basis of women being in leadership. I don't have to do that. People accept this person, and everybody love her and so on, so I'm not going to speak on that. So, Lord, what would you have me to speak on? Now, what's interesting was I had decided I wasn't going to address this issue of the equality of women with men in Christ. And I went to bed that night. I prayed and I was seeking God for direction, didn't receive any. But that night I had a very vivid dream. Now, my friends, most dreams are not from God. Most dreams don't need an interpretation. God does speak through dreams, but they are not his normal way of speaking. God speaks to us primarily through his word and by his spirit who indwells us. But God chose to speak to me this night through a very vivid dream. And when I awakened next morning, I knew It was a dream from God. And in the dream, I was there at the church the next morning, and I was in the pastor's office, and everything was exactly as it is in real life. You know how many dreams, the dreams are skewed and things are not like they are in real life, and they're just really skewed and so on. There was nothing skewed about this dream. Everything was exactly as it was in real life. And in the same way, I had preached there before on a Sunday morning. I was there with the pastor, her son-in-law, who was her associate pastor, a man who was the church administrator. We were all there, and this was a dress-up church. Everybody had on their Sunday best. And just like in real life, we were there in the office, and we waited until they were singing the last song, and then we stood up to go out on the platform. And then in a very short time, the pastor would introduce me and I would preach my Sunday morning message. Now in the dream, exactly as in real life, they started playing the song. It was the final song. And so the pastor, Gloria, she stood up and we all stood up and got ready to go out on the platform. And as we stood up, I looked down and I had on my Sunday suit. I looked down and my feet were bare and I was shocked. I can't believe this. My feet are bare. And I thought, well, I must have pulled my shoes off driving down here today. So I rushed out on the parking lot to our van. And in a dream, everything precisely as it was in real life, the parking lot, my van, exactly the van. And so I begin looking under the seats thinking, you know, I must have pulled my shoes off coming down here. But I look under all of the seats and all around. No shoes to be found. And I am so distressed, and I'm thinking, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe that I got all dressed up and came off without my shoes. How could I do such a thing? And I searched and searched throughout the van, nothing there. And I'm standing by my van, and I'm wondering, okay, what do I do? And I looked at my watch. I don't have time to rush home and get them. They're going to be introducing me in just a few minutes. And I thought, well, maybe I can make some kind of joke about it. And then I thought, no, I don't think that will go over that well. Everybody here all dressed up in their Sunday best, and I'm up here in a suit and tie, and my feet are bare. And I'm standing by my van and feeling so distressed with myself and thinking, how could I do this? How could I get all dressed up and come off without my shoes? And at that point, I woke up. Wow, what an incredible dream. And I knew it was from God. And my friends, God is speaking to us today through this. Well, there was a passage came to my mind that I knew about shoes. And it's in Ephesians. I believe it's chapter 6, verse 17, where Paul, he's talking about the spiritual armor we're to put on. And he's using the analogy of a Roman soldier with his shield. Paul calls it a shield of faith, a sword of the Spirit, a helmet of salvation. And he says in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod. Well, this dream was obviously about feet and about shoes, and that I obviously had gone off to preach without my shoes. And so what does this mean? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I obviously had not shod my feet when I left in the dream, when I left to preach. I was drawn to that statement, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. And I looked up that word in the Greek, and it was amazing. It doesn't refer to that nice, fuzzy, warm feeling on the inside. It's a word that refers to the kind of peace that occurs when two parties that have been hostile to one another, they lay down their hostilities and they are reconciled, and there is now peace between those two parties. We use this in warfare. We talk about nations signing peace. peace. They lay down their hostilities and they agree to live in peace and harmony. And in this passage, Paul said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. And then I was drawn over to the same book, Ephesians 2:14, where it says, for he, that is Christ himself, is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of separation. And of course, Paul is alluding there to that middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. But then I remembered that there was also a wall separating the women from going further into the temple area where only Jewish men could go. There was also a wall separating Jewish women. And so both Gentiles and Jewish women could only go so far. Wow. And so he himself is our peace, who has broken down this middle wall of separation that has kept us separate. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what I saw suddenly was that the gospel of peace is the good news of what Jesus did at the cross. That he broke down these dividing walls that had kept the races apart. He broke down the dividing wall that had kept the sexes apart. And kept women from going only so far and kept Gentiles from going so far. That in Christ those dividing walls had been broken down. Those dividing walls of discrimination and separation and marginalization, those walls had been broken down, and now all are invited to come. And God had, even at the death of Christ, he had ripped that dividing curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies. He had even ripped that curtain apart and open the way for everyone, Jew, Gentile, men and women, to come into his presence. Wow. No more dividing walls. And so I saw clearly that the gospel of peace that day is the good news that in Jesus Christ, all of the walls of separation, discrimination, marginalization based on race or class or sex, whether you're a man or a woman, all of those discriminations have been removed. That value system that valued people based on whether they were a man or a woman, whether they were a Jew or Gentile, whether they were slave or free. And in the modern world, it's what part of town you live in, how much money you make a year. The class discrimination. So what God was saying to me through that dream was, because you see, the night before I had said, I'm not going to address this issue, I took my shoes off. And God was saying to me through that, don't you ever go anywhere without your shoes on. Don't ever go anywhere without being prepared and ready to declare that in me, the walls of separation, discrimination, and marginalization have been removed. And women are no more marginalized to the outer courts. Women are no longer marginalized. Now they're able to come into my presence. Now they're able to function in whatever role I may call them to function in. I may call them to plant churches and to pastor. I may call them to do the same things that I called men to do. Because the walls have been broken down in Jesus Christ. And God help us in the church when we start building those walls back. And those walls are still up in so many sectors of the church today, and oh, may they come down. May we put on our gospel shoes today and declare that in Christ, the walls are down. And if you're a woman today and you feel God has called you, you have a biblical right. You have a biblical basis for teaching, preaching, pastoring, whatever God has called you to do. And if you want to know about that, hey, check out my book, Paul, Women, and Church. Paul, Women, and Church will show you the biblical basis, even from both Jesus and Paul. It's primarily about Paul because Paul is the one that is often quoted for keeping women marginalized. It's on Amazon. It's also on my website, eddiehype.com. It's called Paul, Women, and Church. My friends, have you got your gospel shoes on? Are you ready to declare the gospel of peace, that in Christ, those dividing walls have been brought down? And we're one family, one kingdom in Christ, and we don't judge other people. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we don't judge other people on the basis of their skin color. We judge them on the basis of their character. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hyatt. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.